السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama ikram, respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua: Allahumma inna na'uzu bika min al-fitan ma zahara min haw ma batwan. O Allah, we seek protection in you from all the fitnas, whether they are outward fitnas or inward. Whether those fitnas are outside or whether inside, we ask you for protection from all those fitnas. We have been discussing a number of fitnas which have already taken place and some fitnas that will take place. Fitna, the word itself, the literal meaning was a test. Any kind of test, we refer to it as a fitna. Now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, told the Sahaba ikram that I can see fitnas pouring, so the meaning of that fitna has been taken as the battle of Siffin, battle of, and so many other battles that took place, and other fitnas. But afterwards, there was an extension to the meaning of fitna to include all those things which become the means of fitna. All those things which become the means of a fitna, they were included. Then it became a very, or it became a word that was used commonly for all those things which a person dislikes: murder, killing, ill health, disobedient son, disobedient wife, abusive husband. All those things became included in this fitna. So it has now got a very, very wide meaning and application. We have to look at it with a very broad, in a very broad perspective. So one of the fitnas that was discussed is the fitna of a person within himself, fitnatu rajuli fi nafsi. And then the meaning of that was given by an yaqsuwa qalbuhu fala yajidu halawata at-ta'ati wala lazzata al-munajat, that that person's heart becomes very hard, and as a result he gets no enjoyment of any kind in his ta'at, in his namaz, in his roza, in his zakat, in his ibadat, in any act that he does of qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not get any enjoyment. It becomes mechanical. The person does it because he has to do it. We make our namaz because it is farz 5 times a day, and we consider it as a duty, a responsibility, so we make it. But we get no real enjoyment and pleasure. As Shaykh Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says, that when I go into sajda, that sajda, one sajda is better than 200 kingdoms. Some people do not want to raise their head from sajda because they say that they actually feel that they are at the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now that kind of enjoyment, that kind of lazzat, or in the zikr, the person is going away, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, rattling away thousands of tasbihs, but not one tasbih has got him really connected with Allah ta'ala. That enjoyment he didn't get anywhere. But we must not misunderstand. It does not mean that if we do not get enjoyment, then we must leave it out. We should not do it for the sake of enjoyment. That if we get enjoyment, then we will take Allah Ta'ala's name, and if we don't get enjoyment, we won't take His name. How are we going to get that enjoyment if we're not going to take His name? If we continue, then one day we will get that enjoyment. Ikhlas, if it comes into our ibadat, into our zikr, into our tilawat, then it will bring the enjoyment. If we don't get ikhlas, then we are not going to get that enjoyment. But if a person says that because this child, after taking one step, fell down, so now this child will never walk, so don't make an attempt to make the child walk, then the child will never walk all its life. Or if a person is writing, he's doing kitabat, calligraphy, and when he wrote the first ba or jim or sheen, it was not very good because he was not an expert. So he says that I am unable to write like those who are masters in art. So therefore, what is the sense of writing? So leave it out. So if he's going to leave it out like that, he'll never get anywhere. But if he continues practicing, then one day he will also produce a masterpiece. So if we are not getting enjoyment at this stage, we must still make shukr that Allah Ta'ala at least gave us the tawfiq of taking His name. Allah Ta'ala gave us the tawfiq of making the namaz. Allah Ta'ala gave us the tawfiq of doing those ibadat and those ta'at. But we should not be satisfied that we have already reached. We are far away from reaching. But we must continue the effort, and inshallah Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will one day give us also that enjoyment, that ecstasy, that pleasure that the awliya-i-kiram get in ta'at. But he says this is what happens normally when the heart becomes hard. That after that, that person gets no enjoyment in ta'at, and what it means is that the person wants to just get over it as quickly as possible. His heart doesn't stay attached. If he comes into the masjid, he wants to run out as quickly as possible. Get back to the television, get back to the sporting activities, and get back to gossiping and chit-chatting and do everything else. But that little while also in the masjid, he is like a fish out of water. And the person who has got his heart built up and developed, then when he is in the masjid, when he is in ta'at, when he is in ibadat, when he is zikr, and when he is in tilawat, and when he is obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is like a fish in water. That he does not like to come out of it. In fact, he feels restless in the outside world. The moment he goes outside, he feels restless. But when he's back in the majlis of deen, he's back in the ta'lim, when he's back in the works and activities of deen, when he's listening again to the Qur'an and the sunnah, when he's in the company of his shaykh and the pious and the righteous, then again he feels as if he's back again in the water. So that shows that the person's heart is in a good condition. So he says that this is one of the signs when the person's heart becomes hard, that he does not enjoy any kind of ta'at, enjoyment, he does not get any enjoyment in his ta'at, and in his munajat, in his du'as also, he does not get any kind of enjoyment. The person who gets enjoyment in his du'a, then believe that this person is on the way towards Allah Ta'ala. He is making progress. But the person who does not get an enjoyment in his du'a, he does not get that connection with Allah Ta'ala. He does not feel that Allah is with him when he's asking. His dua has become just like a rattling off of some verses. His dua is not like the begging of a person who is helpless or the person who is restless in the love of Allah Ta'ala. If he does not get that kind of enjoyment, then it shows that this person is not yet connected with Allah Ta'ala. But when that person is making dua, and in his dua he really senses Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's closeness. My Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Hazrat Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he says he was walking with his Shaykh Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh used to walk about 5 miles to go and teach Bukhari Sharif at the other madrasa. So he says on the way suddenly he stopped and he says that Hakim Akhtar, what is the sign that your dua is accepted? So he said, Hazrat, you tell me. He said, jab aankh se aansu nikal jaye, to you samjho ke receipt mil gayi. If you get one tear also from the eye, then believe that the receipt has come from Allah Ta'ala of acceptance. After that, Allah Ta'ala will give you whatever is good for you. But the receipt has come. Now some people say that our hearts are so hard we can't cry. So it is not necessary. The tear is a bonus. But even if you get that feeling in the heart, if the heart becomes soft, it melts, and you consider yourself, or we consider ourselves, to be helpless, and believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, everything is in His control, and we are begging of Him from His treasures, and we believe that it is only Allah Ta'ala who can fulfill our needs, and our wishes, and our desires, and He is the only one who can give us protection and salvation, in this world and in the Akhirat, then that is sufficient. But also there are certain things that have been shown, that if a person passes his hand over the head of a yatim child, then it will soften the heart. Now we will say for the yatim child, you have to go to the yatim khana to find a yatim child. That is a misunderstanding. In our own home sometimes there are yatim children. The brother passed away in an accident and he left behind yatim children. Minors are yatim. The father passed away. He could have been very rich father, but he left behind yatim children. So it doesn't mean the yatim has to be a poor person. Yatim does not necessarily have to be poor. It is a misunderstanding. Always when we talk of yatim, our mind just goes on a very, very poor child. That is yatim. Whereas it's not only a yatim if he is poor. Even if the father was multi-rich, but he left behind a two-year-old child because he died in an accident. Now that is a yatim child. It becomes a responsibility of the people to treat that child as a yatim. Why did Shariat give so much of rights to that yatim child? Because he could be the son of a very rich father, but at that stage in his life he is helpless, and now he will require assistance and help and consideration and care. And generally what happens is that if the child is 2 years, 3 years, 5 years of age and does not understand, then if the estate has come into the hands of family members, executors who are unscrupulous and who haven't got yaqeen and faith and iman of the level that is required, then they will devour the property of that yatim child. So that is one of the things, to pass a hand over a yatim child. And if he is poor, then of course if it gives you added sawab. And another one is that if you go to the Haram Sharif, then at the Multazam, when you find people crying there, then you go and stand there, Allah Ta'ala will soften our hearts too. But in any case, this person, that sign that he has got his hard heart, that his heart has become very hard, or he is trapped now in this fitna, he is trapped in the fitna of his own nafs, is this, that he does not enjoy anything in ta'at and in ibadat. But it comes to mind that Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, he said one very beautiful thing. Now where could we have given these type of examples, or where could we have thought of these alamat? They get kashf. So he's from the Quran and from the Hadith they deduce. So he says the signs that this person's heart has become hard. What are the signs? That he's trapped in the fitna of his own self, and that his heart has now become hard like a rock. He says one of the signs is this, that he commits sins on the strength of Tawbah. Listen to it very carefully. He says he commits sins on the strength of Tawbah. He knows that there is such a thing as Tawbah, that if you make Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala forgives sins. So now he commits sins believing that because there is the door of Tawbah open, so I will commit a sin and I will make Tawbah. He says this is a sign that this person is trapped in the fitna already. This person is trapped in the fitna and his heart has become hard. Now we will say that the person is going to make Tawbah, and yet he is saying that he is in fitna. The fitna is there because this person is believing that I will commit a sin and I will still be given an extension of time to make Tawbah. Whereas he has got no guarantee that whilst he is committing that sin, whilst he is in the midst of that sin, his soul will not depart from his body, or that the tawfiq of Tawbah will be taken away. When that person continuously goes on with sinning and Tawbah, one is again accidental sins, million times to be committed it, but he had no intention of committing that sin and then making Tawbah. There is a world of difference. One is that the person committed the same sin 12 times, but every time that he committed the sin, he again cried, he repented, he expressed remorse and regret and shed tears, and he said, "Oh Allah, I will never ever go again near this sin. Please keep me away, protect me, safeguard me. I don't want to go again near it. It has brought restlessness in my life." And he takes out some sadqah also. He makes 2 rakat salat and makes tawbah. So it is an indication that he does not want to commit that sin again. So this person, if he commits 100 times to the same sin, we will say that's accidental. But of course he must go in that same direction. He mustn't now again go near those sins. But accidentally he got trapped, we will say that is an accident. The person is driving very carefully. He does not want to make an accident, but he can still make an accident. Then he had his car repaired and he said that this time I will try and avoid that mistake that I made in the past, and I will be extra cautious, and again he can make an accident. So that person again will have his car repaired. But we are talking about the person who purposely goes on smashing because there is a panel beater. So we'll say that this person is foolish, or he is not truthful about what he is saying. So one is that person. What you have heard many times is Khaja Azizul Hasan's Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, Ye kushti to hai unse umr bar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. This wrestling match will go on between oneself and shaitan until one's dying day. Sometimes you will overpower shaitan and sometimes shaitan will overpower you. Ye kushti to hai unse umr bar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashiq na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. Ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. So that is what an aashiq should do. An aashiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he should not let that cord snap and then forget about it. Ye rishta muhabbat ka, that cord of muhabbat, we must keep it. If it snaps, then knot it again. 100 times it snaps, knot it up 100 times. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bar bhi, baharal koshish to aashiq na chode. Even if you remain unsuccessful lifelong, but don't give up the effort of remaining connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What kind of an aashiq is that who says, I got tired. 10 times I did it and after that I got tired. 10 times I made tawbah, now I'm tired. How many times am I going to make tawbah? That's why I rather carry on with my sins now. He says, I'm tired now of making tawbah. In this road to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is no such thing as a shore. We must keep on moving our boat. We are on a ship that is sailing, and we must just keep on sailing. We must not fear drowning and sinking. We must just go on sailing. And there is no such thing that I now got tired. It is just like the trip of Hajj. It is a trip of muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, ishq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now if a person goes from here and he got stuck at Johannesburg airport because of some problems, and the flight is now delayed for 2 days or 3 days, so he says, no, I'm tired now, I'd rather go back home. So he will never reach Makkah Sharif. Those days they used to go travel by boat or by camel or on foot, and it used to take them days, and they used to go through jungles and forests and all kinds of hardships and difficulties. So those were the true aashiqs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they were going on and on and on. There was no such thing as now we are tired. In the love of a person, if a person is truly and sincerely in love with Allah ta'ala, then there's no question of getting tired. For worldly love, people never get tired. If the beloved says, meet me 2 o'clock in the morning, the person will stay awake. If the beloved says, meet me 3 o'clock in the morning, the person will stay awake. They don't get tired. And if he says, travel a certain distance, the person will go. Says, I need this and that, the person will go out of his way to earn so that he can give it to the beloved. So in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, do we think that the love of Allah ta'ala is so cheap? One beautiful shair comes into mind, a couplet, in which the person says that you should never get tired. Tu safina badhaye chala ja, ڈوبنے کی نہ کچھ فکر فرما. غم کے دریا میں خضر محبت صرف طوفاں ہے ساحل نہیں ہے. عشق کی راہ پر چلنے والوں عشق کی کوئی منزل نہیں ہے. عشق کی راہ پر چلنے والوں عشق کی کوئی منزل نہیں ہے. راہ میں تھک کے جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے. عشق کے راہ پر چلنے والوں, دس لو آف اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ, دس روڈ, دس نو منزل, راہ میں تک کہ جو بیٹھ جائے وہ اس سفر کے قابل نہیں ہے. اف دا پرسن آن دا وے سیز آئی ایم ٹائرڈ ناؤ, ہاؤ لانگ ایم آئی گوئنگ ٹو اسٹے اوے فرام حرام, اسٹے اوے فرام دس, اسٹے اوے فرام دیٹ, دیر سو مچ آف انویٹیشن آؤٹ دے ان دا مارکیٹ پلیس اینڈ ان دا بازارز, دیر کلبز اینڈ دیر نائٹ کلبز اینڈ ڈے کلبز اینڈ دیر سنیماز اینڈ دیر تھیئٹرز اینڈ دیر گیملنگ ڈینز دیٹ آر اوپننگ, کیسینوز آر اوپننگ left, right and center, people are buying porn magazines and filthy films and they are glued to every kind of filth, and I must just keep staying away. How long am I going to stay away? I am also a human being, I also have desires, I also need some enjoyment, some fun and some pleasure in my life. So then this person will never reach, his life will be just one of restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems. He'll be trapped in all kinds of fitnas. But that person who will say that I have made up my mind that I do not want to displease my Allah Ta'ala, so whatever he says is haram, then I believe that there's goodness in it for me if I stay away. I want to please my beloved. So then for that person, see what Allah Ta'ala gives in his heart after that. So that is, he says, the first thing is that the person, one of the signs that the person's heart has become hard, Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says is that the person commits sins on the strength of Tawbah, that I will make Tawbah, therefore what does it matter, let me commit zina, after that I will make Tawbah. We have heard so many times Maulana saying that no matter how much of sins you commit, Allah Ta'ala is forgiving, is Ghafoorur Rahim, so therefore let me commit zina, I'll make Tawbah, let me steal, I'll make Tawbah, let me read a porn magazine, after that I'll make Tawbah, let me indulge in this haram or that haram and then I will make Tawbah. Then this is a very dangerous trait. Indeed, Tawbah doors are open until the dying day. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is His rahmat and His mercy that no matter how far you have gone, but He'll accept if you make Tawbah. But we should not make a joke of Tawbah. Tawbah must not become a big joke. That the person is now purposely putting his hand into the fire because there is burn all ointment at home. The person says, I've got burn all at home, so therefore let me burn my hand. He applies the ointment, he says, I will burn my hand and apply the ointment. I will burn my hand and apply the ointment. We will say that this person, we should search for the nearest asylum and dispatch him quickly before it becomes contagious and the others also get trapped because something is wrong with his head. So the same thing with Tawbah. I explained that 1,000 times too, if you have committed the same sin and you're making sincere Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will accept. But to believe that I will get extension of time, I will commit sin and then I will make Tawbah, then lots of people have died. Lots of people have died whilst they were committing sins. Every day we are reading in the newspapers, some cinema burning, some disco, some earthquake taking away thousands of people. Now imagine if the person was committing zina and adultery and that's the time the earth shook and swallowed him up with his so-called beloved. Now till the day of Qiyamah, what is going to be the state of that person? The person will rise on the day of Qiyamah with zina again. Now you think all those people who had that kind of intention, in the first place most of them don't have any intention of Tawbah. But I'm talking about those people who were good, outwardly pious, and they had this intention that we will commit zina now and we will make Tawbah later. Now did they get an opportunity to make Tawbah? In Turkey when the earthquake took place, how many hotels went? How many hotels disappeared? And in those hotels, what was happening? So don't commit sins on the strength of Tawbah, that because there's Tawbah, the ointment of Tawbah is there, therefore let us burn our hands. No. Yes, accidentally if the hand gets burned, then make Tawbah. So he says that is one sign, and which is very important, especially for people like us. Shaitan whispers that you ask, that what is there? Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim. Indeed He is Ghafoorur Rahim. But that does not mean that you commit sins purposely because He is Ghafoorur Rahim. Then he said the second sign is that the person has ilm, but he doesn't make amal on that ilm. He has knowledge, but makes no amal on that knowledge. Plenty of knowledge. He can write whole books on the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can write a whole book on akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can write volumes on the tafsir of the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But when it comes to amal and practice, then it's zero. So he says that is the second sign that this person's heart has become hard. That knowledge is increasing, but amal is not coming. So that is a sign that this person has got qasawat in his heart. Then he says the third sign is that this person is making amal, but there's no ikhlas. The first one was that he is committing sins with this niyat that I will make tawbah after the sin. That is a sign that his heart has become hard. And I explained to you that what it means. The second one is he's got ilm, but he's not making amal. The third sign is that he's making amal, but there's no ikhlas. His namaz is for show, his charity is for show, his zakat for show, his ibadat is for show. Everything is show business. His zikr is for show. His teaching is for show. His waaz and nasihat is for show. In everything there's riya, there's no ikhlas. So on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be told, for the person whom you did it, go and ask him to reward you now. If a person builds a house for Mr. A, after he completes the house, then he goes to Mr. B and says, make the payment now. He says, that house which I built for Mr. A, I want you to make the payment for that house. So what will Mr. A say? You didn't build the house for me. Mr. B will say, you didn't build the house for me. The house you built for A, so go to A, he must pay you. Why must I pay you? So Allah Ta'ala will say, for all those people that you made all this amal, go and tell them now on this day of Qiyamah, they must pay you. They must reward you. They must send you to Jannat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us ikhlas. Otherwise, as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to narrate that hadith on ikhlas, he used to faint. So there is another sign that the person's heart has become hard. If he does not find ikhlas in his amal, something that we have neglected so much. So ikhlas in the person says that is the third or fourth sign. Third sign. The fourth one is this. They say that the person buries people with his own hands, but gets no nasihat from that burial of that person. He takes janazas on his shoulders, but he takes no nasihat from that janaza. The women folk may say that we don't go to the qabristan and we don't carry janazas on our shoulders. So that does not mean that you don't see janazas leaving homes. Which woman hasn't seen a janaza leaving some house? So even if the janaza is leaving from the house, how much of ibrat and how much of nasihat has one taken? One woman once phoned and she said that my father passed away. So there was some film or some picture that they all used to watch every day in that house on the television. She said, my father passed away. Now, is it necessary that for 40 days we have to switch off the TV? He said, there's a certain program. The children are getting very restless. They want to see it. But we have heard that for 40 days we have to keep it switched off. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now, this is our iman. Janaza has left from there. And that soap, they can't stay away. Those soaps, what they should have really done is wash the hands of those soap. With that soap, you wash your hands off. So now for 40 days, some masla, they go that for 40 days you mustn't see haram. After that, it's permissible. So what ibrat did we take from that janaza that left from there? And that at least she spoke about 40 days. But in so many homes, it doesn't even take one day. The same evening, You go to another room somewhere, you will find some young boys and girls already watching. No ibrat at all. And then if it comes to the janazah in the qabrastan, then even in the qabrastan, all worldly stories, business dealings, gossiping, even arguments and fights sometimes we witness in the qabrastans. So what ibrat has the person taken? So he says that's another sign that this person's heart has become hard. And the fifth sign, he says that the person eats, they are eating the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are eating plentiful, but they are not making shukr of those ni'mats. Eating plentiful of Allah ta'ala's ni'mat, but no shukr over it. And the shukr does not mean that the person just says, Alhamdulillah, Allah tera shukr. That kind of shukr everybody can make. The shukr of that ni'mat is that when it went into the system, then the eyes got its nourishment, the ear got its nourishment, the tongue got its nourishment. That same food, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it a nourishment for the different parts of the body. If it was not nourishing the eyes, then the person would have gone blind. If it was not nourishing his ears, he couldn't have heard. If it was not nourishing his tongue, he couldn't have spoken. If it was not nourishing his hands, he couldn't have made movement. So those ni'mats of Allah ta'ala which went inside his stomach, look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat, that first of all the heavens and the earth, everything went into the production of that which grew from the earth. Then it went through so much of processes, then it came onto your table, then after that we put it into our stomachs, and then again Allah ta'ala got the heart and the liver and the lungs and the kidneys and the bladder and so many things working for this man. And now when all these things receive nourishment, now the shukr of that eyes is that now you're going to start gazing at all the haram. And the shukr of that ears is that we switch on that music and listen to it full blast. And the shukr of that tongue is now we engage in ghibat, we engage in false oaths and qasams, we engage in swearing and cursing. Now that's our shukr of the tongue. And the shukr of our hands is that now we start punching, pulling the trigger on innocent people, signing checks fraudulently, or using the hands to catch, embrace or hug those who it is haram to hug and embrace. Every ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we abuse, whereas we're supposed to be eating that food and making shukr. That means using the eyes according to Allah ta'ala's hukam, the ears according to his hukam, the tongue according to his hukam. So if we have got these five signs in us, then it means that our hearts have become hard. Now how are we going to soften that heart? Again, to soften that heart, it is majlises of ilm, of ta'lim, of zikr, of tilawat, of the mashayikh, the sohbat of the saliheen, the company of the righteous and the pious. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you people, fear Allah and join those who are the sadiqeen, the truthful ones. That means they got sadaqat inside and sadaqat outside. Their outside and the inside is one. Inside is sadaqat and outside too. Not that they've got all kinds of evil in their hearts, and outside there is an appearance of piety. So when the person will do all this, and zikrullah, and with the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and with the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, that heart will then start softening. Then there are signs. What are the signs after that? That it's a different subject. These signs mentioned by Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi just came to mind when we were discussing this, because fitnas are coming in from all sides. It's a very important subject, this subject of fitnas, especially in these times. So we have discussed some of the fitnas. Another one fitna that has gripped mankind is the fitna which we may term as the love of name and fame and position. The love of it. We are not saying that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it haram for us to seek respect and dignity in the society. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us a dua. And in that dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself says, Allahumma ij'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayunin nasi kabira. O Allah, make me appear in my own sight very weak, very small, humble, insignificant, but in the eyes of the people give me respect, show my greatness, although I'm not great, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, but in the eyes of the people give me that respect and give me dignity, give me honor. Why? Because if the father does not have that kind of dignity in the eye of his children, then they won't respect him. Then they are not going to listen to him, what he is going to say. If the Shaykh, or if the Alim, or if the Khatib, or the person who is making waz and nasihat, if in the eyes of the people he's a crook, he's a humbug, he's a cheat, then what kind of effect will that nasihat have on their hearts? But if in their sight, if this person is pious, in their sight, he must not think of himself as being of that nature. But in their sight, if he is a pious person, if he is a person that's practicing on what he is preaching, is a person who has the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and he has the ability to guide and to lead, if they have that kind of opinion about him, that he is showing us the road to Jannat, and he is not motivated by greed or by material gain or name or fame. Now, if they have this kind of opinion of that person, of the Shaykh, of the Alim, or of the person that is giving waz and nasihat, then it will have an impact on their hearts. Therefore, again, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's calling from the Mount Safa, when he called the people, what did he say first? He could have shown them miracles from Mount Safa. He could have stood there and said that Allah Ta'ala has made me the Nabi of Allah. So therefore, all you people gather here, I'm going to split the moon into two. The very first day he could have said that. That happened later, and thousands of miracles Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed. But on the first call, what did he say? He said, if I have to tell you that there's an enemy behind this mountain which is ready to attack you, will you believe me? Each and every one of them, what did they say? They said, indeed we will believe you, because we have never ever heard you speak a lie. Then he told them what was the message from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, first of all, his credentials was of truthfulness. That he was the most truthful person. Now, when in their opinion he was the most truthful person, then it will have an impact also. Afterwards, for some worldly gain or motivation, if they don't accept, it's a different thing. Or if their hearts have become sealed because they have made up their minds that we will not accept even if he's the most truthful person, then that is their problem. But generally, if the person is considered to be truthful, pious, righteous, then it has an impact on the hearts. The same with the parents. Now, if they are considered by the children to be pious, to be righteous, to be God-fearing, to be those who are practical, they are implementing the teachings of Islam in their own lives, then those children also will say, no, our parents should not be disrespected. But if the parents are going to sit with those same children and watch all those porn movies and filthy films and tell the children also, come, beautiful film coming now after this, and bring the meals here also, we all will sit together and watch. And now there's zina that's taking place, there's drinking, there's gambling, there's music, there's all kinds of filth that is being dished out. Afterwards, when the father will tell the son that, no, you must not commit zina, then he say, but you was watching with me all the time. If it was something that was haram and forbidden, then why were you watching? Anything, if the father doesn't make namaz and tells the son, farz namaz 5 times a day, you must go to the mosque, what will he say? So the practical action of a person will have an effect and impact. And one of the things that helps is when the person has this kind of an opinion. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not say that you must not ask Allah Ta'ala for dignity, respect and honor. In fact, we should ask for it. But we should consider ourselves as insignificant and worthless, then Allah Ta'ala will give us elevation. مَنْ تَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعُهُ اللَّهُ. The person who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, it must not be for any worldly motive, then Allah Ta'ala gives him elevation. One person heard in the bayan that if a person reads namaz 40 days with jamaat, then Allah Ta'ala causes the fountains of wisdom to gush forth in his heart. So he made namaz 40 days with jamaat, takbir-e-ula, but no fountain of wisdom gushed forth in his heart. So he told that, Maulana, you're speaking lies. 40 days I made with jamaat, takbir-e-ula, but no fountain of wisdom gushed forth in my heart. So he said, how can a fountain of wisdom gush forth in your heart? Because it was there, or it was that if the person adopts humility, if the person adopts humility, then also he gets the same thing. So now they told him, he said, for 40 days you made namaz, but for what did you make namaz? You made namaz for the sake of that fountain of wisdom. You didn't make namaz for the sake of Allah's pleasure. The condition was that he who makes namaz with jamaat, with takbir-e-ula, 40 days for the pleasure of Allah. Now you were doing it for the sake of that fountain. So how can you get that fountain? Just to encourage people, one Maulana was going past one village. He said, if you make namaz 40 days with jamaat, then Allah Ta'ala will give you plentiful. So one person asked him, what will I get? He said, you'll get an ox. In the stable there, if you go and open, you'll find one ox after 40 days. Just to give him encouragement, he was one diyati person. So for 40 days he made namaz, but nothing happened. So he said, you were speaking lies. He says, no, I just told you to encourage you. Where can you get an ox? If that was the case, everybody will make 40 days namaz and find one ox there. So he says, I knew you were speaking lies, that's why I too didn't make wuzu. For 40 days without wuzu, I too made namaz. So he made namaz just like that too. So brothers, this is what we have to understand, that this is a fitna, that for the sake of name and fame, what people are doing, and what is the end result, that they are losing large amounts of money, whether it's in walimas or whether it's in weddings and marriages. They have to borrow from the banks, they have to pay interest, and that name and fame also doesn't come. Because those people who were at the party, they have a good meal, and then they become critics. Food wasn't served on time, there was less salt, there was extra chilies, the arrangements were not right, this happened there and that happened there, and all kinds of criticism, and if not all that, then finally even that comment we will hear from the majority who had a good meal and passed their hand over their stomachs, they too will say, why this person wasted his money? After having a good meal, rubbing their hands over their stomachs, then they will say, Maulana, he fed 2,000 people. Why did he waste all that money? This is what they got, finally. So this is another fitna. It's a fitna which has entered our homes, our lives. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand fitnas and ask Allah for protection from the fitnas. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life and another opportunity, we will continue next week. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahu ko maaf farma, khatao ko maaf farma, lagzisho se dar guzar farma, sehat de, afiyat de, izzat de, salamati de. اے اللہ تیری رحمت کی بارش ہم پر نازل فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ظاہری فتنوں سے بھی نجات عطا فرما اور باطنی فتنوں سے بھی حفاظت عطا فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے گھروں کو, ہمارے مکانوں کو, ہمارے دکانوں کو, ہمارے سکول اور کالجوں کو, ہمارے بازاروں کو, ہماری زندگیوں کو ہر قسم کی فتنے سے محفوظ فرما. اے اللہ دنیا کے فتنوں سے بھی حفاظت فرما, آخرت کے فتنوں سے بھی حفاظت فرما, قبر کے فتنوں سے بھی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ زمین کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما, آسمان کی آفتوں سے حفاظت فرما, حسد کرنے والوں کے حسد سے حفاظت فرما, فتین کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ جہاں کہیں بھی دنیا بھر کے اندر آفات اور مصائب آئے ہیں, ان سب کو دور فرما. اے اللہ جو انتقال کر گئے ان کی مغفرت فرما. اے اللہ جو رہ چکے گئے ہیں ان کو صبر جمیل اور اجر عظیم عطا فرما. اے اللہ ہمیں عریبی ہر قسم کی آفت سے حفاظت فرما. جب ہمارا دنیا سے جانے کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.